The reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. It's on page 1088 of the Church Bibles, but it'll appear on the screen as well. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Spirit, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. For as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink.
Thank you, Sue. In a very real sense, we've already had our main message, because today the message really centres around what Pauline has already told us about her journey, because the words that I'm going to bring are effectively what she has expressed already in her testimony. That was part one of her sermon. And part two of her sermon will involve very few words, but a bit of action, which is where it all is applied in terms of the baptism. But I am still going to say something. We here in Crowham Road, and forgive us if you are a visitor, but you are most welcome. I know there's a number of family and friends who are here who wouldn't normally be here. Likewise, people playing hooky from Emmanuel. Good to see you today as well. Oh, been there already as well. Okay. Extra points there. Pharisee points, I call those, Mike, all right? Can we have the PowerPoint up, though? Because for those of us who come more regularly, we've been going through a series about being God's community and living in the community and looking at that in various different ways. This week, we are looking at joining the community, which actually baptism is at the heart of that. But before we look at that, let's look at another, or part of it, integral to that, is this question of belonging. I don't know if you noticed in Pauline's talk earlier, there were a number of points at which actually there was some kind of reference to belonging. But before I get on to Pauline, what about you? Do you belong to any clubs or organisations? Or, I mean, here, these are all to do with leisure activities. So I know there are several people in the church who enjoy going cycling, whether it's quite racing like that, and I believe the guys in the yellow jerseys are part of the Addiscombe Club, or at least one church member. In fact, the one who's just done the Bible reading is a member of a bridge club and plays bridge on a regular basis. Pauline was talking about music, and a few years ago when we moved, before we came to Crowham Road, when we moved to Lincolnshire, our Sam was middle teenage and was thinking he was going to find it really difficult to get into making friends in the new place that we were going to go to and the new school and so on. But actually, because he was quite musical, he was welcomed into, and this is the Lincolnshire County Youth Wind Band that he played. He's a bit older now, and he looks a bit kind of more mature than that, but that was a few years ago, and he was getting involved in that. That was he, and that he really felt then very quickly he got into belonging into the place where we were. Mike, do you recognise this? This is the annual Emmanuel and Crowham Road match, which always creates a bit of a problem for Mike, because we tend to nab him, because he, when you were a teenager, you were here, weren't you? Yeah, and all the Emmanuel people thinking, why is he playing for Crowham Road? Well, it's all to do with first loyalty, isn't it, mate? Actually, I think it's more to do with he wants to get some of the Emmanuel lads out, personally, but maybe I'm giving things away. So there's Andrew Whiting playing in our match. Can't really call that belonging, only playing one match, but one of our players actually is a member of Kent County Cricket Club. And in fact, he probably has been watching them play only these last few days. But you know, the funny thing is, 20 or 30 years ago, many more people would have belonged to a club or a society or something like that. Very few people nowadays. Take the typical youth organisations of scouts or guides, far fewer people belong to those nowadays. Let's just have a look at this quote then about belonging. An American author who is also an academic, and in fact originally her root, Breenie Brown's roots lie in social work, she says, a deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible need of all people. We all have that need. We are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. When those needs are not met, we don't function as we were meant to, we break. We fall apart, we numb, we ache, we hurt others. Remember, she's a social worker, so she's seen a lot of that going on. We get sick. In our Bible passage, well, actually just moving a verse or so on from where Sue finished, in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. The foot is asking, do I belong? And for many of us, that is one of the things that is going on throughout all of our lives. What is my identity? Where do I belong? To whom do I belong? So for Pauline herself, look up on the screen, Pauline. Yes, there's a picture of you. So it's not only her older sister who plays the piano at church sometimes, but you can see her concentrating hard there, can't you? So I don't think Pauline is in this picture, but I got this one online. But that was what she was talking about. The reason that actually she went to her first communion was primarily because all of her friends were doing it and she wanted to belong and be a part with them. But she quite readily said, but actually I didn't understand what it really meant spiritually at that time. The lovely thing is that God in his goodness will accept us even though sometimes our motives are wrong. And that is fantastic. And then she talked about getting that guitar and then getting involved in the music and that sense of purpose and belonging. So sometimes you will hear us as a church stand here and make requests of needs that we have within the church. of various jobs and responsibilities. But as you look at 1 Corinthians 12, it's not just about filling in a need or a job. It's actually about all of us finding our purpose, finding our place, having something that we know we can contribute. And when we feel we get involved and contribute, then that sense of belonging becomes stronger and deeper. And that is what Pauline has felt. And then here's Soul Survivor, which Pauline has already identified as going along with Emmanuel and in their youth group as well. And we were really glad to work together. The two churches have worked together over the years and really glad to encourage Pauline and one or two others to go along to that youth group as well. So belonging has been an important part of the journey for Pauline. In the passage that we have before us today, the church is described as a body. Verses 12 and 13, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So when we talk about belonging to the church, actually, Paul uses the term, so it is with Christ. Our first commitment is to Jesus himself. But then we discover when we make that commitment to Jesus, he welcomes us into his family, and we then discover the rest of the family, and we find we are welcomed into this body, and we find ourselves as a part of the body. So, Pauline, we've got to work out which part of the body you are. You may not consider yourself to be the mouth, because you think you're shy, though actually, to all of us who were just listening to your testimony, that was so clear and your voice was clear and strong, you may yet find yourself to be a mouth. But on the other hand, perhaps it could be something to do with the hands, continuing to play music, and I don't know. You know, we tease, don't we? You will find, you will discover what your part is if you've not already found it. But have you identified that you belong? Have you identified that you belong to Jesus? Have you identified that you also belong to his people? Of course, if there is belonging, there is also another side to it, and that is not belonging. At the beginning of the passage that Sue read to us, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. So Paul is talking about a before and an after. There is, as well as that urge to belong, that there is always that sense, but I don't know that I do belong, or indeed, I do know that I don't belong. So, Pauline, you're going off to university shortly, and so you are about to become an undergraduate. And here again is our Sam as an undergraduate some years ago. But an undergraduate is not a graduate. They've got to go through the process of several years of study. They've got to go through tests, exams, and pass those tests and exams, and only then can they become a graduate. Or think about our Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, and this is her sister, Princess Margaret. Princess Margaret never was going to qualify to be the Queen, and had, of course, the Queen's uncle stayed as King and not abdicated, she would never have been Queen either. So there is a sense in which there are things of which we are on the outside and cannot belong. For those of you who don't know me, this is my football club, Gillingham in Kent, because I spent the best part of 20 years of my early life living in Gillingham, going to school there, watching my team. You can see there's not many fans in the background there. I am one of the few, even fewer as a result of their loss yesterday. But that is one of the Jill's players, although actually he's moved on now, but I could find so few pictures with a fan in them with a player, I had to go to an old one. But, you know, you can be a fan, you can watch the game, but woe betide you if you get out of the stands and try and get on the pitch, you'll have security swoop all over you because you're not a player. So this question of belonging then is not sort of a grey area. There is a black and white here as to whether we do belong, whether we belong to Jesus and whether we belong to his people or whether we don't. And so baptism is significant because it is our means of initiation. So in the same way as when the Queen's father sadly died, King George VI, so she then became the Queen. But becoming Queen, that was then marked the following year in her coronation with one of the grandest ceremonies that you can possibly get in the world. It was so significant there was this great ceremony. Not quite so significant for a football player, but a football player still, all football players have to commit to their team. Even when I was playing for a football team in the bottom tier on the Isle of Wight, I still had to sign the same form that the pros have to, because you have to commit to your team. And that is a kind of initiation. And then, of course, when the undergraduate does pass their exams, they go through this process of graduation, which is recognition of what they have done and telling the rest of the world they're worth giving a job to because they've actually gone through that process. So baptism is a really important marker. It is a ceremony. That's what we're going through here as Pauline is baptized. But it's also a sign. It's a symbol of what has already gone on. So just as the Queen was already Queen before she went through the coronation, so Pauline has already entered into the relationship with Christ. But that does not take away from the significance of the ceremony and the fact that as she goes through these waters of baptism, we also expect a number of things to be going on. A little bit more about that in a moment. Why do we get baptized? Well, first of all, Jesus himself is baptized by John the Baptist, and that is a picture of how some people interpret how Jesus was baptized. Jesus himself, we're told particularly in John's Gospel in chapter 4, was baptizing new disciples himself. Very interesting little comments there that Pauline and I looked at in preparation for this. And then at the end of his ministry, Jesus himself commanded his disciples that this is what we should all do. New believers should be baptized. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 13, which is where I'm concentrating most of this message today, we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, or so as to form the body. So it is this baptism is what brings us into the life of the church. And notice in verse 13, there's one of those little words, for we were all baptized. Or to put it another way, if you belong, you have been baptized. If you don't belong, then you may not have been baptized. And baptism is really significant in terms of the belonging and marking the fact that we belong. So this picture here shows a whole load of people who are getting baptized in the Jordan River, the same place as Jesus, only in modern days. I'm kind of assuming that all of those people come from the same church, but they may not necessarily have done so because they're all wearing the same kind of gowns, aren't they? In just about every single Christian church, you will find baptism. Whether you're talking about the ancient church like the Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox churches, or whether you talk about the Roman Catholic Church, of which a number of folk in this church have had their background, or if you talk about the Church of England or the Methodist Church or this church, the Baptist churches, of course, we're not the only ones who baptize. And even the modern churches and the modern movements all have baptism, because this is what Jesus said is the thing that he wants us to do to mark the fact that we commit to him. And the funny thing is, I didn't go to Pauline and say, Pauline, get baptized. That's not a minister's job. And in fact, when we baptize her, one of the things I will say just before we do is, at your own request. Pauline came and said, David, actually, I've been thinking for quite a long time, didn't you? I think it's time to get baptized. And what is going on there is Jesus is saying to her, nudging her quietly, in his persistent way, but because she's shy, he needed to be a little bit more persistent, saying, hey, Pauline, you belong to me, and I know you belong to me, but the rest of the world doesn't yet know you belong to me. Hey, it's time to show that you do. So go and talk about baptism. Now, that I can't imagine that's exact words that Jesus used to you, but that's essentially what he was doing in terms of nudging you to come forward, because that's what Christ wants of all of us, to actually follow him and show that we belong to him. In exactly the same way as when something matters. When I got married, I didn't get married in secret. I wanted the rest of the world to know that I was committing the rest of my life to Sue. And there is that very strong, similar sense in which Pauline is committing so strongly and know the rest of the world will know as well. But of course, when we come to talking about, yes, joining Jesus, but joining the church, if I actually just leave Jesus out of it for the moment, though theologically you can't do that because the church is his body, but if I were to just leave that out, go and talk to another person and say, would you like to join the church? They say, what? What are you on about? And for many of them, their experience of church is that word down the bottom, underwhelming. It's not something where they feel as if they meet with God in any meaningful way. And I've kind of compared it to 4 years ago, the German football team was on top of the world and were completely unbeatable. And they famously, absolutely slaughtered Brazil in their own backyard, 7-1, 5-1 at the end of the first half. The rest of us were wondering, what is going to happen? 4 years later, they didn't even do as well as England did in 1970, following our win in 1966, out in the group stages. With two losses. So the German fans, and you can see those two women there, underwhelmed by the performance. And that's how some people feel about Christianity and about the church. But I think we're looking in the wrong place there. Now look at these verses in 1 Corinthians 12, where we've got loads and loads and loads of references to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, including in this key verse that I'm looking at, verse 13. We were baptized. What is interesting is it doesn't say we were baptized in water. But I mean, Paul takes that for granted, that we're baptized in water. But what he wants to emphasize is the real baptism is baptism in the Spirit. So what happens when we say we will belong to Jesus is he comes into our lives. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or to put it another way, actually, we are overwhelmed. That is one of the ways of translating the word baptizo. So think of Pompeii in ancient days, which was completely overwhelmed by the eruption of Vesuvius. I think it was AD 79, something like that. And so many people lost their lives, and there's a picture of it in the bottom right. Or more recently, this year, the volcano in Hawaii, where the lava has actually been reaching the home. So here it is coming out of the volcano itself, and then here down by the coast are some of the homes that have just been overwhelmed and destroyed. And there is absolutely nothing you can do about it if you own one of those properties. And one individual was interviewed and they just kind of shrugged their shoulders. If you live on a volcano, you have to understand it is a risk. Didn't expect it to happen in my lifetime, but hey, I'll just build another house somewhere else, no doubt with government help. So the word baptizo actually is in the sense of overwhelmed, not covered by ash or lava, but covered by water, and used to be used of ancient Greek, Persians, Romans in their battleships and navies. And when one of those triremes was sunk, and it looks like the one on the right may well suffer that with this ramming here, they sink and they go under the water. And so one of the things we think about in baptism is sinking and going underneath the water. It's why we make sure our baptistry is so full of water. There's symbolism to do with dying to our old life and coming up again. There's symbolism to do with washing away our sin and having it all washed away. And bearing in mind that many places it will be in a river, the river then takes the dirt of our sin away and we come up left clean, and we come up also living a new life in Jesus. But what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 12 with that sense of overwhelm is also something to do with overflowing. Because if we read on the next bit, so we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. And then he goes on to talk about Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, which is an indicative that there are no exceptions. All people around the world are included within this invitation. But he then finishes the verse with, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. And so there's that sense of the drinking in the Spirit and being full of the Spirit and being so filled up with the Spirit. Well, actually, on the first day that this happened, on the day of Pentecost, people thought the people were drunk because they had become so full of what God had given them. Now, there is a well in the country of Estonia. And this is it, you can tell by all the greenery, this is that place in the summertime. And you can see there's a little cap on the well here and a tiny little pail, and that's where they drop the water in. They don't normally have to drop the water in too far. In the winter season, they don't have to drop it in at all, because that's the same well in the winter, absolutely overflowing. And actually, that is one way of understanding the term baptism, overwhelmed and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. So immersed in the Holy Spirit that actually we overflow with the Spirit. And so there's all these other quotes here that talk about this overflowing or about this fullness and the ways in which it can be understood. So in John chapter 7 and verse 38, we read, Jesus himself says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Can you see that kind of rivers of living water in the picture there that's going on in the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about? And then John says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And that happened at Pentecost, as I was just saying. So he wants us to receive this river of living water within us. And then in chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life. And he doesn't stop it there at just at life, but and have it to the full. Fullness of life, overflowing life. So in a sense, it's not just a case of belonging because we have that need to belong. It's also that God's going to give us so much when we do belong, when we do connect with him. He gives us life, vitality, energy, everything that actually we know we always wanted deep down in our hearts. And that's why Jesus can only really summarize it in the word life. And then in Luke chapter 4, we read Jesus himself, full of the Holy Spirit, and then goes on to what he was doing. In Acts chapter 6, we read where they wanted to appoint new leaders in the church. The key criteria for that was not whether they could teach, whether they could organize, whether they were good at pastoral care or good evangelists. The key thing was appoint people who are full of the Spirit, those who were overflowing in the life and the energy of God. And in those verses in Acts 6, you will find Stephen referred to, a man full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith and full of the grace of God and full of love and full of power as well, because that energy of God was working within him. And we find more of that in 1 Corinthians 12, where all the abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to individual people to work in his church are highlighted. That's another sermon for another time. Just want to concentrate on the belonging bit here. In Romans 15, Paul talks about out of the fullness of what God has given him, he wants to bring a fullness of a blessing. Blessing simply means really a free gift that God wants to give to people that will be for their goodness. And then time after time after time, we find in Scripture fullness of joy. In Luke chapter 10, we've got a reference to that. In John 17, we're in John, so let's turn to John 17 and verse 13, where Jesus, about to end his ministry, says to God in prayer, God the Father, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. That in itself is a good reason to belong. How many of us want to be miserable? How many of us want to be underwhelmed? But actually, that's not what it's meant to be about. It's meant to be a fullness of joy, a fullness of purpose, a fullness of life. And so that's actually what Jesus is saying here in John 17. And if we go into Acts, we will find there's a reference again to being full of the Holy Spirit in chapter 13 and verse 52. It's a little concluding point at the end of that chapter. And the disciples were filled, and the two were together with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have the joy without the Holy Spirit, and you don't have the Holy Spirit without the joy. They go together. That is what we're finding in Scripture. And then the last one I'm going to make reference to in 1 Peter. So just to show you that the different writers in Scripture, all of them have got this emphasis on this fullness of joy and this fullness of life. One of the problems for us as believers today is we don't actually see Jesus in the way that the first disciples did. Well, Peter recognized that in the next generation of believers. And so as he writes to them, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him because the Holy Spirit has made that connection with him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. An inexpressible and glorious joy. That's Peter just saying, look, I'm struggling. Here's the old Galilean fisherman who perhaps hadn't got an English degree. And so he said, I'm struggling with words. I don't quite find the right word, but it's beyond expression. I can't find it. And it's glorious. It's magnificent. Just put all the superlatives in, is what Peter is saying in terms of the joy. And so he wants us to be full. He wants us to be overwhelmed. He wants us to be overflowing. But it also takes commitment. So this is what Jesus is offering to us. But what he's then saying to us is, yeah, but I need you to say, I want to belong to you, Jesus. I don't want you just to say, Jesus, I believe in you, and come along to church sometimes and share in the songs, or go along to the youth group, or go to Soul Survivor. I actually want a relationship with you. Sue would not have been impressed if I said to her, I love you. And that's where it's going to stay. She wanted commitment. In fact, there was a rather uncomfortable talk that was when I told her, or started telling her at the end, at the beginning of our third year in uni, what my plans were, and what about me, was the retort. Out of that came our engagement. It's that sense of, you know, do I matter? And that's what Jesus is asking of us. How much do I matter to you? Oh, by the way, if you're asking me how much I matter, what about thinking of it the other way round? How much do you matter to me? And that's where the verses that Tim was bringing to us at the beginning of the service that made reference to Jesus and his death on the cross and what he's done for us were so important, because that is how he expresses his commitment to us. He's already laid his life on the line. He's already laid his commitment on the line. And all he's saying to us is, will you now give yourself in commitment to me? And as Pauline put it so beautifully, it's like bungee jumping. I look at those pictures and I'm filled with horror. I have to. Do you fancy bungee jumping yourself? No, she doesn't, actually. So I think she considers the faith leap a bit easier than bungee jumping. But look at the couple of quotes that I've put down at the bottom there. Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's the kind of coming in and the belonging. But Jesus himself also warned us, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And the reason for that is not because God is nasty and vindictive, but as Jesus sometimes says, particularly in his parables, there will come that day when we will stand before God and say, hey, God, come on, let me in. I'm thinking of the end of our life and standing at the pearly gates or coming into the door of heaven or whatever. We'll say, let me in, God. And God won't shout angrily to us. He will simply say, because these are the words of Jesus in the parables, but I never knew you. You weren't interested in me. So why, when you had the chance and you weren't interested in me, now should I open the door? That really is the heart of where it goes to. But there's a bit more as well, and that is, Peter, we may want this fullness of life, we may want this energy, we may want this power, we may want this belonging, but Peter says before that, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the bit maybe some of us want, but you've got to repent and be baptized. And repentance is about changing our mind and putting our mind in the place where we trust God, believe God, follow God. Another one of the interesting conversations I had with Pauline some time ago was all to do with where she was in terms of repentance and belief. That was quite some time ago. That was 2 or 3 years ago. And as a result of that, Pauline was quite upfront and said, look, I'm just not sure. She wasn't in that place where she was ready to say, okay, I will change my mind. She's got her own agenda, her own ideas, her own thoughts. Some of it out of a sense of selfishness, but some of it also out of a sense of not yet understanding. And I suspect it was more the latter that was at work with Pauline, so that when she did fully understand, and that's where the Emmanuel Youth Group was really so helpful, then she, it makes sense. Now I'm in that place where I can commit. And you said earlier that was round about when you were 15. But are you at that point? You know, okay, we're going to watch Pauline be baptized in a moment, but are you in that point? Do you believe? Do you want to belong? Do you have that sense of emptiness and lack of purpose? Are you searching in the way that Pauline was earlier in her life? Well, make the same journey that she has in terms of then discovering and finding and committing and maybe even going through the waters of baptism. And then the flip side of that is, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be filled. You will be filled more than you will ever hope, is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about overflowing. So, those are the questions we need to be thinking about. Do we belong? Do we want to belong? And actually, the next three questions, you can't separate. Do I want to belong to God? Do I want to belong to Jesus? Do I want to belong to the church? If the answer is yes to one of them, it needs to be yes to all of them because they are so all intricately interconnected. Do you want to be full of all that is good? Not just donuts, Pauline, all right? Okay. If you're hungry, there's biscuits at the back, by the way. And then there's this really serious question, though. Are we willing to commit? Because that's the final thing that Pauline is not just saying, she is demonstrating. And as she demonstrates it, each one of us needs to examine our heart and say, am I prepared to go that far as well? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus and his commitment to us in that he went all the way to the cross, giving up his life in order to give us life. And Father, we thank you he didn't just do it in order to give us life and a bit of life, but he did it in order to give us fullness of life. We thank you, Father, that that is something Pauline has already experienced. And we pray that you will help each one of us, wherever we are in our journey of faith, to recognize your commitment to us and to be willing to make our commitment to you. And if for some of us that means coming to faith in Jesus for the first time, then Lord, will you lead us? If for others of us it's that step that we need to make, which includes baptism, then may we have the courage to respond. If there are some of us who need actually to join the body and become part of your church and not just belong to Jesus, may we understand that's the call to us as well. But Lord, may each one of us do as Pauline is doing today, and that is demonstrate our commitment to you. Lord, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.